And welcome back. Tomorrow on this program, we'll be discussing and analyzing Governor Eric Greitens' State of the State address. We want you to tell us your reaction to the speech and to the priorities Greitens laid out. You can hear the speech live tonight at 7 on St. Louis Public Radio. After listening, give us a call and leave a voicemail. We may use it on tomorrow's program. Give us a call at 314-516-6397. That's 314-516-NEWS. The words Storm Large can mean a lot of things, but in the world of show business, they are the name of a very busy performer. Storm Large is a singer, songwriter, and author who appears in the U.S. and around the world performing solo with symphony orchestras and smaller bands, including Pink Martini. If that name sounds familiar, it may be because All Things Considered host Ari Shapiro also sings with that group from time to time. Storm Large will bring her act to St. Louis next Wednesday. For more, here's producer Alex Hoyer.
A press release about Storm Large's upcoming performance in St. Louis at the Sheldon reads, "An astonishing singer and a striking beauty." Storm Large joins me by phone. Welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
Hi.
Why are you laughing?
Well, it's just very flattering to hear oneself described as a striking beauty.
I suppose it is.
I'm recovering from the flu.
But you're better now, I understand.
I am. Thank God I'm on the mend. Yes, finally.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, especially in advance of your upcoming performance next Wednesday in St. Louis. Now, you perform a lot of different genres of music, American standards, music from Broadway, and even some rock music. And so I'm curious what people can expect from your performance in St. Louis.
Well, it's like an interactive kind of a show. It's never one thing. I kind of take the temperature of the audience, and I feel what their level of sense of humor is. I feel what their, you know, what their excitement level is. And we have quite a few fans in St. Louis, so it's kind of like a coming home usually for us.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I've read about you and that I've heard people say about you is that your CDs are great, but that you give a great live performance. And you mentioned taking the temperature of the room, and I guess that's part of the reason why people probably say you give great live performances. Do you think?
Maybe. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I've always been kind of a sensitive, empathetic person. And I also want people to enjoy the show, so I'm an eager pleaser of a performer. Mm-hmm. But I don't kiss tail. I do what I want to do, but I also want the ultimate exuberance on both sides. It's always a better show for me when it's a better show for the audience. If people are having a good time, it's like erotic exchange. It's only fun if everyone's having fun. You know what I mean?
So how would you play differently to an audience that's just that you don't really think is into it? How do you play differently to an audience that's like that as opposed to one that's really into it?
Well, you know, I've been very lucky, and I don't usually play to audiences who aren't totally into it, but they're maybe more reserved, say, with a symphony audience. They're a little more laid back and a little more reserved, and they, the tendency is with classical music audiences, they feel they need to behave a certain way and respond in a certain way, enjoy the show in a certain way, and react. You know, mm-hmm. in a very controlled kind of certain way. And I refuse to adhere to those rules. I'm like, no, man, come on, throw yourself out of the seat, have fun, clap, make a fool of yourself, sing along, hold up your lighters. This is a show. You're here. You know, mm-hmm. live entertainment is so rare nowadays. It's such and especially in a symphonic environment or in an artistic, like a performing arts center, it's usually a higher price ticket. And so some people only get to enjoy those things once a month, maybe, if they're lucky. And so I'm just like, come on, man, get into it. This is it. This is it for the month.
You perform a mix of original songs and of covers, and both are included in your 2014 album. And there are a couple of covers that were written by Cole Porter that are on that album, one of which is I've Got You Under My Skin, which Frank mm-hmm. Sinatra made famous.
Yeah.
And before I ask you about your version of that, I want to play a little bit of Sinatra's version.
I've got you under my skin. I've got you deep in the heart of me. So deep in
That's Frank Sinatra's version of I've Got You really Under My Skin. I'm speaking with Storm Large, who performs at the Sheldon next Wednesday. Now I want to play a little bit of your version.
I've got you under my skin. I've got you deep in the heart of me. So deep in my heart that you're nearly a part of me. And I got you under my skin. I've tried so not to give in. I said to myself, this affair never will go so well. Do I try to resist when, baby, I know so well that I got you under my skin? I would sacrifice anything, come what might, for the sake of just having you near, in spite of a warning voice that comes in the night and repeats and
That's Storm Large singing I've Got You Under My Skin, written by Cole Porter. Storm Large, that's certainly a different take than I think what a lot of people are used to from hearing the Frank Sinatra version.
Definitely. It's a different harmonic approach, and we didn't set out to change it or improve it, because, I mean, the Frank Sinatra, Ella Fitzgerald, Harry Belafonte, I mean, there's so many incredible versions of that song already, and most of them follow the similar guideline of, you know, the score and the way Mr. Porter envisioned it. But what I like about our version is it seems, at least to my ear, a little truer to the urgency of the lyrics, to the fear of putting oneself out there and wanting the desire of somebody who may not give a fig about you, that fear we've all experienced of putting our hearts outside of our bodies and in an offering, and that fear that can make you a little bit crazy. That's where sort of, you know, maybe stalkerish behavior kind of comes in, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I feel there's a little more at stake in that presentation.
How do you decide which songs that you want to cover? I mean, there are so many American standards or Broadway tunes. How do you decide which ones that you want to have your own take on?
Usually they just come across my consciousness. They're either like Le Bonheur, the album is comprised of songs from rock and roll and punk rock and classical that have just made my life bearable. They're like my favorite songs of all, kind of all time, a selection of mm-hmm. my favorite songs of all time. And that's why the album is called The Happiness, because it's that thing that keeps you going no matter how hard things get. You remember that there is still joy, and that you can remember that there are times when you've been down and you've come back. And some of these songs were the soundtrack of that recovery. So sometimes a song will catch my ear, and I've heard it a million times, but for some reason it strikes my ear in a different way. And I think, wow, I want other people to experience this song the way I'm feeling it right now.
One of the songs that's on your latest album, which is an original, is A Woman's Heart, and I want to play that in a second, but can you set this up?
Yes. This song I wrote in a day, sitting in my living room, having just gone through a pretty rough breakup. And the person was fairly abusive and didn't understand. It was impossible to get this person to understand that their behavior was cruel and controlling and not healthy. It was much easier for them to believe that I was just leaving and giving up. And so in a way, it's an apology to this person that, though they hurt me, the sadness really was in the fact that they would never understand. And hence the first line, you'll never know a woman's heart.
All right, well, let's listen to a bit of it. This is A Woman's Heart by Storm Large.
You'll never know a woman's heart, just can't see that far down, such a long and pretty road that you'll never go. Well, you might haunt her every dream, and you might have a name she screams, and you can tear her world apart and never know. A woman's heart. Ooh. She will build you such a home of swirling blood and salty bones, and you will feel all big and bold, strong and whole. Then out of nowhere she will go, short and sharp and icy cold, and she will stare right through your soul like you're the pane of a dirty window. You'll never know a woman's heart, no one can.
That's A Woman's Heart by Storm Large. That's an original off of her latest album from 2014. It really sounds, Storm, like you do a certain amount of healing through your music, whether it's the cover that you've selected or whether it's some of your original music.
Well, I hope so. I mean, artists in general, I had a wonderful teacher in New York City. He was a phonetics and voice and speech teacher in acting school. His name was Jim Demonic. That's his real name. And he told a really interesting story to a class one time. I guess you'd call it a parable about how the artist is cursed. How, an average Joe can see a sunset and be just enriched by the sunset, or hear a bird song and be enriched by the bird song, or see a deer leaping across the road and just be enriched by the beauty that's around him or her. And the artist is just forever tortured because we're constantly trying to recreate the beauty that we see around us, or the pain, or you know, it's trying to articulate and make understandable the unintelligible and intangibles and things that every human experiences, but almost no humans can articulate. So I hope I can create a little bit of healing with my voice.
I was checking out your Twitter profile, and you have a few thousand followers, I should say. And among many people on Sunday, you expressed your appreciation for Oprah. She of course, gave that rousing speech. And I'm curious what your take on that speech was.
Not so much the speech. I mean, the speech was moving, and it was incredible. And in this day and age, especially in the last few years of very fashionable resistance and different armbands and different, you know, people wearing black to show solidarity for abuse and abuse of power and abuse of women, Oprah has always just kind of been a steadfast, positive force, just really shining a light on things that are healing and healers and people doing wild, incredible work in the world. And I've always kind of gone to her as a motherless child. I've always kind of gone to her as a sort of maternal light, which I'm sure is a lot of her appeal to most of her fans. But, you know, she was so powerful and so clear and yet very positive, and just as a woman who was a poor black woman coming up, daughter of a poor black woman, she had no reason to believe that she could ever, you know. But she tells that incredible story about Sidney Poitier, and how that's all that took. But that is a powerful spirit that mm-hmm. can take that cue, run with it for her entire life, with her talent and with her heart and with her mind. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure she was dissuaded, and I'm sure she was discouraged and dissed and told, you're fat, you're black, you're a woman, you know, and who do you think you are? You know, the best of us all get that. But I mean, a poor black woman, you know, still this day and age in this country, in this wonderful, beautiful, wide, developed country, you know, it's, you know, poor black women get it the hardest and the worst. And to grow your soul like a flower through that difficulty, and to still be as gloriously positive and hopeful for everyone is an incredible, incredible amount of grace. Just a sort of yet another exclamation point of why I love her.
Hmm. I think a lot of people do. And during that speech, Oprah mentioned her realization that there could be a young girl watching her at that moment as well. I'm curious what advice you might have for young artists who are potentially struggling to make it, but who really enjoy making music or writing poetry or whatever their art might be. What would you say to them?
People are going to tell you you're stupid, and that your ideas are stupid, and that you're not pretty enough, you're not skinny enough, you're not young enough. People are going to tell you art is a waste of time. It's only for beautiful, cool people with money. You know, it's great that you have a nice voice, but what are you going to actually do? And also there's this, to look out for those fantasies that we see online and on television, that, you know, people get discovered and they become famous and they have mansions and coke problems and they go to rehab and they have three marriages before they're 30. And it's this great glamorous life of bonbons and cocaine. And it looks so easy to become kind of famous. And so people are even more easily discouraged. And all I say is, you do this because you love it. You do this because it's what you were made to do. You do this because this is who you are. And yeah, people are going to naysay you, and they're going to try to talk you out of it. And they're going to tell you, you know, you're doing the wrong thing, and you're going to feel really discouraged, and you're not going to make money, and you're not going to be famous, and you're going to land a lot of times at the airport at 2:00 in the morning, and no one will be there to pick you up. And, you know, you still have to pay your bills and you still have to pay your rent and you still have to work really, really, really hard in ways that it's hard to describe. But you do it because it's who you are and because it's in you and it matters to you.
Mm-hmm. Changing topics a little bit, at the outset of the interview and the introduction, we mentioned you're performing with the band Pink Martini, and a lot of public radio listeners might know that All Things Considered host Ari Shapiro is an occasional guest singer with that group, and so I can't let you go without asking you to give us the scoop on Ari Shapiro.
Ari Shapiro is one of the most frustratingly perfect human beings I've ever met. He is kind, he's funny, he's articulate, he's brilliant, he's an incredible chef. And besides being tall and incredibly easy to look at, he is one of my great friends, and I will always love him, and just an incredible person. I don't know what his astrological situation was the day he was born, but boy, the heavens sure did smile down upon the earth when they made Ari.
It's been a pleasure to talk with you, Storm Large, and I know people are looking forward to your coming to St. Louis next Wednesday at the Sheldon. Thanks so much for spending some time with us.
Oh, you're welcome, and thank you so much. I'm really looking forward to getting back to St. Louis.
Alex Hoyer's interview with Storm Large. She'll be appearing at the Sheldon next Wednesday at 8 o'clock. Archived versions of past St. Louis On the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org. St. Louis On the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.